Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pax, Sat Nam. Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanyan Wase Yaki. Welcome to our class today in Introduction to Sabbatean Kabbalah. And we will be continuing on today in our discussion about Torah, in our teaching on Torah. And we've been teaching, as you know, for going on 2 months now on as to what Torah is. There are many different types of concepts involved in the understanding of Torah, its sources, and what it means from a mystical, Kabbalistic point of view. We will continue on today along those lines. But before we do so, I will, as I do before the start of each class, today recite the Kaddish for the Dead and the Mourners of the Dead. Please close your eyes as you listen to this and remember someone to whom you are close who has died. In doing so, you will honor that person's life and bless his or her memory by calling them into the light of your consciousness. Yiskadal v'yishkadash meirabo, bolmodi veiro kirase, ve'yamlik malkase, bekai yakon uvyo mekon, Uvkaye dekol beis Yisrael ba'agalo uvizman koriev ve'imru amen. Yehe shmei rabo mevorak le'olam le'olme omayo. Yisporak ve'yistavak ve'yisporar ve'yisormam ve'yisnase ve'yishadar ve'yisale ve'yishalal shmei dekodsho beraku le'olhu. Minkol berkaso vishoroso tush vekoso venekemoso da'amirom be'olmo ve'imru omein. Yehe shlomo rabo min shamayo vekayim olenu ve'alkol Yisrael ve'imru omein. Ose shalom bimramav hu yashe shalom olenu ve'alkol Yisrael ve'imru omein. Thank you. Now, as I said, we're going to study today some more on the Torah. And specifically what we're going to do is I'm going to read a very, very important passage out of the Zohar. And it occurs to me as I say that, well, they're all important. They're all the teachings that God gave to us through Moses. And through the prophets and through the interpreters and commentators and sages of Kabbalah who have interpreted Torah. So they're all very important. But this one, for me, is especially important. It discusses the four levels in which we can interpret Torah, any passage of Torah, all of it or any of it. There's four different levels on which we can view it and approach it and learn from it. And there's great differences in the meanings and implications of those four levels of interpretation. So what I'll do first is I'll read a passage out of the Zohar, and then based upon that passage, I will discuss the four levels of interpreting Torah. Okay, so the passage I'm going to read is taken from the Zohar, section 3, Bamidbar, page 152a. And I ask you to bear with me, it's several paragraphs long, but it all ties together. All right. Said Rabbi Shimon, "Alas for the man who regards the Torah as a book of mere tales and everyday matters. If that were so, we could compose a Torah dealing with everyday affairs, and of even greater excellence. nay, even the princes of the world, possess books of greater worth, which we could use as a model for composing some such Torah. The Torah, however, contains in all its words supernal truths and sublime mysteries. I'll repeat that. The Torah, however, contains in all its words supernal truths and sublime mysteries. Observe the perfect balancing of the upper and lower worlds. Israel here below is balanced by the angels on high, of whom, it, meaning Torah, says, "Who makest thy angels into winds?" That's quoting Psalm 104, verse 4. "For the angels in descending on earth put on themselves earthly garments, as otherwise they could not stay in this world, nor could the world endure them." And there's a teaching just in that, but I'm going to pass that by. "Now, if thus it is with the angels, how much more so must it be with the Torah that created them, that created all the worlds, and is the means by which these are sustained. Thus, had the Torah not clothed herself in garments of this world, the world could not endure it." The stories of the Torah are thus only her outer garments, and whoever looks upon that garment as being the Torah itself, woe to that man. Such a one will have no portion in the next world. David thus said, quote, and this is quoting Psalm 119, verse 18, quote, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," end quote. To wit, the things that are beneath the garment. Observe this, the garments worn by a man are the most visible part of him, and senseless people looking at the man do not seem to see more in him than the garments. But in truth, the pride of the garments is the body of the man, and the pride of the body is the soul. Similarly, the Torah has a body made up of the precepts of the Torah, called guf Torah, bodies, main principles of the Torah. And that body is enveloped in garments made up of worldly narrations. The senseless peoples only see the garment, the mere narrations. Those who are somewhat wiser penetrate as far as the body. But the really wise, the servants of the Most High King, those who stood on Mount Sinai, penetrate right through to the soul, the root principle of all, namely to the real Torah. In the future, the same are destined to penetrate even to the super soul, soul of the soul of the Torah. Observe that in a similar way in the supernal world, there is a garment, body, soul, and super soul. The heavens and their hosts are the outer garment. The community of Israel is the body which receives the soul, to wit the glory of Israel. And the super soul is the ancient Holy One. All these are interlocked within each other. Woe to the sinners who consider the Torah as mere worldly tales, who see only its outer garment. Happy are the righteous who fix their gaze on the Torah proper. Wine cannot be kept save in a jar, so the Torah needs an outer garment. These are the stories and narratives, but it behooves us to penetrate beneath them. Amen, v'amen. That is the Zohar, Bamidbar, section 3, page 152a. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, several things that I want to observe here before I get on to the main points that I want to go into depth on. And the first thing that I want to point out is that it says that it grieves for the man who regards the Torah as just a book of mere tales and everyday matters. For the truth is that the Torah contains supernal truths and sublime mysteries. And it says that the narratives, the worldly tales, the stories of the Torah, this is what we look at when we're in Sunday school as children, right? We read these Sunday school stories. They tell us all about the battles that Joshua fought when they were getting ready to move into the land of Canaan. They talk about Moses being called to liberate God's people in Egypt, about how he went down and took his staff and he took Aaron and he went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, and how Pharaoh wouldn't do it. And then finally, after the plagues, he agreed to let them go. And then even then he crossed behind them with an army. And the seas parted. And Israel crossed over on dry land, but the seas closed upon the chariots of Pharaoh and killed his men. And then they wandered for 40 years through the desert. Well, all of these are the stories that we all grew up with, if we had any kind of either Jewish or Christian upbringing, and to maybe a little bit lesser extent, even Islamic upbringing. For all three of these faiths are Abrahamic, derived from Abraham and the patriarchs. Okay, but it says that these stories are only the outer garments of the Torah. They're not the Torah itself. They are not the Torah itself. They're just the outer garments that make the Torah bearable to the world. That means that the real Torah is something underneath that contains, as it says in this passage, supernal truths and sublime mysteries. And indeed, as we've learned in previous lessons, that these words really constitute the name of God. The hidden name of God. Okay? And that learning this Torah, reading it, studying it, is basically to be pronouncing the names of God. And we are in the process when we do this, and even more so when we take this on with kavana, meaning mystical intention, uniting those names into the one great primal mystical name, Havaya, from which all the other names are derived, and of which the Torah is all of those names strung together. All those million or so words in the Torah is all of God's mystical names, all strung together. Okay? So those stories are just the garments that shield this world from the inexpressible glory of God's name and God's mystical secrets, which are underneath those stories, and which the world cannot endure without them being clothed in those stories. Okay, that's the first point I wanted to make. Now, it says, a little bit further down, that it is the senseless people who see only the garment, okay? But the wiser penetrate as far as the body. We'll discuss what that means in a minute. But the really wise, okay, penetrate right through to the soul, okay, namely the real Torah. So the real Torah is the soul. That's the third level down. And it says, who are these people? It says the really wise, the servants of the Most High King. Servants of the Most High King would be Eved Hashem. Okay, those who stood on Mount Sinai. That's a reference to, in Exodus, and I don't have the exact chapter and verse here, but if you'll remember, I've talked about this before, that Moses was commanded by Yahweh to bring the 70 elders of the tribes of Israel with him, along with Aharon, his brother, and bring them up onto Sinai. And he did, and he took them up there. And then God showed himself to them. And then God commanded Moses to come forward and to go into the cloud, the mystical cloud that descended of fire and darkness mixed together that descended onto the top of the very summit of the mountain of God. Okay, so this reference here is to those 70 elders. Okay, and it says, but the really wise, the servants of the Most High, those who stood on Mount Sinai, Moses, Aharon, and the 70 elders. Okay, penetrate right through to the soul, the root principle of all, namely to the real Torah. Okay, and it says in the future, the same individuals are destined to penetrate even to the super soul of the Torah. Okay, so it concludes then by saying, woe to the sinners who consider the Torah as mere worldly tales, who see only its outer garment. Okay, and it says here, better for them that they had not been born at all. All right. Now, I want to discuss this fourfold method of interpretation of Torah and the four layers by which we can apprehend it and interpret it. And I'm going to go from the outside in, okay, just as it was done in the order of this passage from the Zohar. And of course, those four layers are what? The outer layer of the garments, the body underneath the garments, the soul inside the body, okay, and the super soul, the soul of the soul. And what do these four layers represent? They represent, it's sort of a metaphor for what a man is. The first thing you see when you see a man coming toward you or a woman is you see a form clothed in clothing, garments, apparel. Then when they get closer, you realize there's a body, of course, underneath there. And inside that body, you, even though you can't see it, you know there's a soul. And then at the highest level is the soul of all the souls. In other words, the source of all souls. Okay? Let's go one by one now. Look at each of these levels. Okay? At the level of the garment, that represents, with respect to the Torah, that the level of the garment is the stories, the worldly tales, their narrations. Their purpose is to disguise the Torah, to hide what is beneath those garments, beneath those stories, so that she, the Torah, can bear to be in the world, and the world can endure her presence. Okay, so that she is clothed so that she does not have to be naked in the world. In what world? In the world of forms and names. In the world of material physicality and temporality. Okay, the world of space, matter, and time. We have something that's totally divine. That's the Torah. The divine and the physical cannot tolerate each other's presence. This is taught to us in the Oral Torah. It's taught to us by the Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto in Derek Hashem. He says that the spiritual and the physical cannot tolerate each other's presence. This is why the soul, which is spiritual, but yet is bound to the body, which is physical, why the soul is constantly at odds with the body, and the body is constantly at odds with the soul. They are two different things. Okay? Both created, but of completely different natures. Okay? So in order for the Torah to be in this world, she had to be clothed in a garment. A garment that can be used to bridge the world of the spiritual and the physical, and at the same time insulate the world of the physical from the spiritual, and vice versa. These are the stories, the narrations, which I'm going to say right now are mythic and poetic in nature. Okay? Mythic and poetic in nature. In other words, we cannot take them literally. Yes, there is a strain, a thread of truth and historicity in there. But that's not the function of these stories and tales, is to tell us a history. Because history is not important to us. The history of mankind is not important to us, except as it reveals to us the history of the evolution of the mind of God. Okay, now, this level of the garment, this is the sphere of the ignorant man or ignorant woman. What I mean by that is the literalist, who, contrary to what I just told you, looks to prove the historicity, the actuality of biblical events in those narratives. Okay, this is the person who wants to follow along on all of the archaeological excavations and try to prove that Samson existed because they found some temple somewhere where it appears that the pillars have been pulled down, and never mind that the area is an earthquake region in the world. That person is going to find in the evidence of that temple that has fallen down that must be where it is that the temple of the Philistines that Samson pulled down. Okay, this person is always looking to prove the historicity and literalness of those accounts in the Bible. But that person is ignorant. That person is missing the myth, the poetry. That's the transition part that transcends the physical and leads us into the divine, into the spiritual. What these persons, if you can interpret and receive Torah only on the level of the garment, the stories, the worldly tales, the narrations, here's what you're going to receive. As it says up above here, it says in the Zohar, says, observe that in a similar way in the supernal world there is a garment, body, soul, and supersoul. The heavens and their hosts are the outer garment. So what it's saying here is that if you can only see the Torah on the level of its garment, that is the stories, the worldly tales, the narrations, then what you're going to receive, what your inheritance will be, is the heavens and their hosts. You might say, well, that's not too bad, but think about it. God will be as distant from you as the stars are right now from your body. Your relationship with God will be one through the hosts. A relationship through the hosts. What is this? This is the angels. This is priests, teachers, and others, friends and neighbors and relatives, who are going to tell you what to think and what to believe. You won't have your own relationship with God. It will always be through these intermediaries. Your abode, and this is the really terrible part, your abode is not going to be anywhere in the levels of Jacob's ladder, the tree of life, okay? Etzkayim, the Godhead, the supernal world. Your abode's not even on there. It's not any one of those levels of the 10 Sephirot. Your abode will be in the abyss. Indeed, as it says in the Zohar passage, better for him that he were not born. What does that mean? It means that not only will your body die, taking with it the animating soul, the animal soul, the nefesh, but also the soul that God blew into Adam, meaning man, the ruach, the breath which made man a living being more than an animal. Your soul may, or I should say, will be destroyed. I don't know how many chances, if any, you get if you're in this category. But ultimately, if you get more than one chance, and I believe in God being a merciful God and a loving God, and I believe that you get more than one chance here in this world, meaning more than one life. You're going to go around, and you're going to go around, get chance after chance, lifetime after lifetime. But ultimately, if you can never get beyond this, believing that the Bible is nothing but stories about ancient times, or even beyond that, believing in God, but believing that the Bible is nothing more than a history of ancient times, okay, then your soul is ultimately going to be destroyed. That's what we're being taught here. Okay, let's look at the second level now. The garment encloses and clothes the body. The body is the main principles, according to this passage in the Zohar, the main principles of the Torah. What is that? The main principles, I would say, are the laws and the regulations that govern our lives in relationship to our fellow human beings and to God. Okay, this would be the Ten Commandments. This would be the 613 mitzvot, or laws. This would be the rabbinical interpretations and rulings of the Beit Din, the House of Judgment, the judicial rabbinical courts. Okay, when people have conflicts with their neighbors and their Jewish neighbors and relatives, and they take them before the Beit Din, and they decide who's right, who's wrong, what's equitable, what's inequitable, and they give an order as to what should be done. Okay? Now, what will you receive according to this passage of the Zohar? If you interpret, if you receive Torah and view Torah and interpret it on and understand it on the basis higher than just the level of the garment, but only on the level of the body, okay, what you will receive is Klal Yisrael, the community of Israel. Your identity will be collective, not individual. You will be absorbed into the collective body of the Jews. That's what Klal Yisrael means, the collective body of the Jews. You will do and hear, and I say this in quotes, because this also comes from the giving of the commandments, the time of the giving of the commandments, in which, from the ratification, actually, of the reaffirmed covenant, when Moses comes down the second time after the destruction of the golden calf, and he comes down and he says, "Would you accept this covenant?" And they said, they responded, "We will do and we will hear. We shall do and we shall hear." Okay? Showing their absolute obedience to the law. Okay? So you will be in that group, that collective body of Jews, of Israelites, that will do and hear. Do what? As the rabbis command. Performing all the rituals and all the commandments, observing all the high holy days, observing Shabbat, observing the Jubilees, but never penetrating to the mystical secrets and mysteries that can take you to a higher level, above the level of Malkut. Your rung, you'll at least be on the tree of life, but your rung will be the lowest level. You'll be at the rung of Malkut, the kingdom. Your level of soul will be neshama, which is the Hebrew word for soul. Okay, now let's look at the third. At the third inmost level, at the going from the outside in, this is the level of soul. Okay, this, according to this passage of the Zohar that we just read, is the level of the root principle of all, namely the real Torah. Okay, when you understand Torah at the level of soul, that means that you are approaching Torah, reading it not for the stories or narratives, to understand them, nor to understand the laws and regulations and rituals and the seasons and the ceremonies, but going beyond that to the level of the mystical teachings of the Torah, the mystical teachings as to the nature of God and man, and the nature of their relationship one with the other. Not man and man, but with between God and man. This means that you seek to understand, and the Torah will give to you the methodologies of mystical ascent. This means ascent of what? Of Jacob's ladder. Remember when he slept that night on the banks of the river Jabbok, the night before he met his brother Esau, after the many years of separation, he found a rock for a pillow, and he slept, and he dreamed. And in this dream, he saw a ladder reaching from the earth up into the heavens. And going up and coming down were many angels. And it's not an accident that it says going up first instead of coming down. Because we would think that he would see angels coming down and returning. But instead, he sees angels going up and coming down. Okay? And what that is that's a reference to our ascent of his ladder. What is that ladder? That ladder is the axis, okay, between this physical reality and the spiritual upper worlds of God. That is the connecting channel that connects the navel of the physical world. It's the navel of the world. It's the umbilical cord between the world of the spiritual and divine and the world of the physical and mundane. Okay? And we are invited by God to come up, to elevate ourselves to higher and higher levels. And in fact, that is our job. That's our duty, is to perfect ourselves so that we can reach higher and higher and eventually become Eved Hashem, Evedim Hashem, servants of God. Okay? So this is the sphere. And what the Torah will do is it will give us the methodologies by which we can do that mystical ascent. It'll give us the way that we can. It'll tell us how to pray. It'll tell us how to meditate, and how to contemplate. Okay, and these are the technologies of mystical ascent. Okay, the level of soul in interpreting Torah is the sphere of the mystic. You're no longer just a member of a collective body, a faceless member of a collective body. You are now an individual. You are a mystic. You're one of the Kabbalistic sages, those who go beyond the letter of the law. Okay? Who's the letter of the law? The letter of the law are those who are at the level of the body. They're at the level of Jacob. One who holds another back. That's the meaning of the word Jacob. He who holds another back. Because when Jacob was born, first out came Esau because he wrestled his way to the front. It was the intent for Jacob to be the first. It was God's intent that Jacob would be the firstborn son. It even says this in the Bible. I believe it's in Isaiah. Don't have the quote in front of me right now, the verse, but it says, Israel was my firstborn son. Okay, well, Jacob was supposed to have been the firstborn son, but Esau, who desired to have the birthright and promises, struggled in the womb and emerged first. But hanging onto his heel was Jacob. Holding onto the heel with his hand, out came Jacob. He who holds another back is the meaning of the word Jacob. Okay? That means he who goes only by the letter of the law, meaning receiving, studying, and interpreting the Torah only according to the laws, according to the mitzvot and the rulings of the rabbis. Okay? But he who receives Torah, studies Torah, practices Torah, according to the level of soul, the level of the mystical level, is called Israel. He goes beyond the letter of the law. He who wrestles, which means what? Israel is a name that was given to Jacob when he when he wrestled with the with Samael. And it just occurred to me that I told you wrong on the time period of that dream. The dream of Jacob's ladder occurred on his way to when he was going the other direction, not when he was coming back from having lived with his uncle Laban, for all those years, but when he was on his way, fleeing from his brother's wrath, Esau's wrath. Okay, it was on his way back when he wrestled that night on the banks of the river Jabbok. He wrestled with Samael, who is an aspect, an archetype of God. Okay, and he asked for his blessing, and he would not let the angel go. Daylight was coming. The angel said, "Let me go, for daylight is coming." And Jacob says, "Give me your blessing." And the angel said, "Henceforth you will be known as Israel, he who wrestles with and conquers God." In general, it means Prince of God. Okay. So this is the level of soul. Now, what will you receive if you are studying and receiving Torah on the level of soul? In other words, looking for its secrets, its mystical secrets. Well, according to the same passage in the Zohar, it says that you will receive the glory of Israel. The glory of Israel. What is that? That's the Shekinah. Another name for Kavod of Israel is Shekinah. You will receive God's indwelling presence. She will descend and hover above you. She will make you her garment and ascend to the Holy One. Blessed be He, as we have discussed in previous classes. When you study Torah on this level, you attract to you the Shekinah. She descends and hovers above you, and then she enters into you, and she puts you on as her garment, okay, and ascends to the Holy One, blessed be He, and shows you to Him. You will thus unify Malkut, which is another name for Shekinah. You will unify Malkut to Tiferet, which is another name for the Blessed Holy One, and effect the celestial marriage of the Shekinah to the Holy One, blessed be He. You're doing this when you study Torah at the level of soul. Your rung will be Tiferet, beauty of Israel. In other words, you'll be at the level of Lev in the divine being that is represented by the diagram of the ten Sephirot, the sixth Sephirah, Tiferet. That's where you will be instead of Malkut, a higher level. The level of your soul will be Kaya, meaning living being. And your relationship with God will be individual, one-on-one, no intermediaries, no priests, no rabbis, no teachers like myself. You'll have a direct relationship between you and God. And your level of Devakut, meaning cleaving to God, because there are many levels of that, as well as levels of soul, as well as levels of Sefirot, as well as levels of knowledge. Okay? Your level of cleaving to God, Devakut, will be as high as Chokmah. It will rise up and fall down, rise up and fall down, but it will reach as high as Chokmah. It could reach as high as Chokmah. Okay, this leaves us the last, the innermost, the highest level of Torah interpretation. This is the level of the super soul, the soul of the soul. And what is this? It doesn't really say in the passage of the Zohar, but what it is, it's the level at which you have knowledge, gnosis, da'at, knowledge of the great name of God, Havaya. Okay? When you look for and study Torah at this level, you blend with that which you are studying. You merge with it. You become Torah. Torah becomes you. God's transcendent nature and purpose in creation when this happens, is revealed directly through Sephira, the non-Sephira, Da'at. You see that directly below Keter? Da'at means gnosis, mystical knowledge. Okay? And what do you get knowledge of? You get knowledge of Keter, which is the transcendent part of revealed God in this world. You can never know, nobody can ever know Ein Sof, because it's not of this world at all. The closest thing to it is it's my mitotic duplicate, Keter. And you can, a few people can, as their ultimate state of consciousness, achieve the level of Keter. And before you do that, you achieve it, you achieve knowledge of what Keter is about through Da'at, by entering into a state of Da'at. Okay? And if you pass through that and you enter into, and this isn't direct from that knowledge that's in Da'at, but by having been in Da'at, traveling next to the mother, the great mother, Binah, and then passing through her and entering into Chokmah, Abba, the great father, and then going on from there, and you cannot force this to happen, because into Keter, the king, the crown. It is not by merit alone that this happens, but only by the grace of God to few people. But if that happens, what you will receive is you will receive union with Atika Kadisha, the ancient holy one. What Jung calls in his answer to the book of Job, he calls it the incarnation of God in man. Okay? God is incarnated in man. God is joined to man. Man is joined to God. They become as one. And while you're in this state of Keter, okay, this state of inexpressible, high-level consciousness, your rung will be Keter, crown. The level of your soul will be Yahida, soul of souls. Your relationship with God will be one of complete union, complete devakut, where you experience a state of pure beingness, enlightenment. My teacher, Reb Yaakov Leib HaKohen, who has experienced it, I know, at least once and perhaps twice, has indicated it's a state of nothingness, no thingness. I have not experienced that state. I'll be totally honest with you. I have not experienced that state. If at all, it's granted maybe once in a lifetime to a person, briefly. It's known in Zen Buddhism as Satori, in Hinduism as Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Nirvikalpa Samadhi. In Vedanta, it's known as Satchitananda. In Judaism, particularly Kabbalah, it's known as Devakut, the highest level of Devakut. Okay? And when you hit this place, when you rise up to this place, if you're among those elect that God has chosen to raise up into complete union with Him, the ego is destroyed. The ego is completely destroyed. And at that point, you may choose to remain in this blissful state of no-thingness, which would be a permanent union. What would that mean? It'd mean two things. It'd be the two opposite sides of the same coin. On one side would be physical death. In other words, you wouldn't come back. Your body would die. Your ego would die. But on the other side, what you would achieve is you would achieve a completely mature ego, completely individuated ego, one that would remain in union with the self, and I'm talking in Jungian terms now, or God, okay, and you would receive spiritual immortality. Okay, if you choose to return, this is the choice. You can either do that, or you can choose to return and teach and do good deeds. And if you do that, in Buddhism, you're referred to as a bodhisattva. Okay? A bodhisattva. One who returns to teach others. As my teacher, Rabbi Yaakov Leib HaKohen, has chosen to do. All right. Those are the four levels that exist in Torah. Okay? And, of course, you could say that these are four levels of concealment, the outer level being the Torah that's revealed, and each level under that being a deeper level of concealment. Okay? And we are called to, as it says here in the last paragraph of this Zohar passage, woe to the sinners who consider the Torah as mere worldly tales, who see only its outer garment. And I hope that I have put that to rest now for you. Happy are the righteous, the tzaddikim, who fix their gaze on the Torah proper. The Torah proper. That means, really, the inmost two, meaning the soul and the soul of souls. Okay? And it says, wine cannot be kept in a jar, save in a jar. So the Torah needs an outer garment. These are the stories and narratives, but it behooves us to penetrate beneath them. God wants us to penetrate to the level of... He wants us to first of all understand that the stories and tales are just the garment. It's the necessary insulation between the world of the divine and the world of the mundane, the physical. Okay? And we need to go through those, and it's also the conveyance between those two. It's the insulation, and it's at the same time the pathway between those two worlds. So he wants us, first of all, to know that there's more to the Torah than the stories, but what is more of the Torah is going to be known through those stories, through those words and the stories. And then he wants, second of all, to reach the level of Torah, which is to follow the laws, because those define our lives in this world and lead to us. If we follow those laws and those precepts, the mitzvah, they will help us to lead righteous lives, and we will become righteous ones, tzaddikim. Why? Also that we can begin to study Torah at the level of soul, the third level in. So that we can look for the mysteries and the secrets. So that we can study the technologies of the Torah to learn what methods to use to mystically ascend Jacob's ladder, to rise, to perfect ourselves, to learn ways of performing spiritual repair in this world and of redeeming God from his multiple conflicting opposites. To synthesize the opposites, to reconcile the opposites into a whole, to reunify God. Okay? And for those of us who God has selected, he will raise us up to the fourth level, and that is, he will reveal to us through the Torah his nature at the level of Keter, at the level of the Ancient Holy One. And he will let us join with him and give us a choice to remain with him forever and not have to continue to incarnate in this world. He will let us get out of this world of illusions. Or he will let us return to be his Eved Hashem, his servant, to incarnate in us and to do his will, his bidding. And to a lesser extent, we do that at the third level too. All right, that concludes today's teaching. And I'm happy that you spent this time with me, and I hope that you got as much out of this teaching as I did in presenting it. And as I leave you today, I ask you to remember God at least twice today, to remember who God is, that He is your Lord, that He is your only Savior. Hashem is your Savior, there, as he tells us in His Torah. There is no other. There's no Jesus. There's no Shabtai Zvi. There's no Messiah who's going to be your Savior. Okay? There is only the ineffable God, our Lord and God, the one and only true God. Remember God, the God who made this world, the God who is the master of the universe. There is no other. Remember that He struggles and He suffers. And comfort Him so that you too may count yourself among the tzaddikim, the righteous. Go from strength to strength. Zagazunt.